Thank you, Miss Lisa. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. As we look at the matter of what it would be like if you were to jump ship in some type of way. And you see, this is an actual photo of somebody abandoning ship. I don't know if any of you guys ever been in that situation. I haven't, but I can imagine how terrifying that would be. Matthew chapter 14. I don't know if you can see it, but its verse is not on there. I didn't put it on there. Matthew 14, verse 22. Look, if you're able to, would you stand for the reading of God's word if you're able? If you can't, that's completely understandable. Matthew 14. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." Jesus said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father, bless your word in Christ's holy name. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes in this life, we want to jump ship. It gets tough. Life gets tough. And I think you could all say amen to that, right? At work, at home, and sometimes even church. Seems like there's only one way out sometimes, to abandon ship, it appears. I've been there. You've been there. You may be there now. I ran across a humorous few car accident reports of people maybe after they had these accidents, they were ready to jump ship. Here's some actual reports of what people filled out. One individual said, an invisible car came out of nowhere and struck my car and then vanished. Another accident report said, a pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. Another one says, I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and then headed over the embankment. As you know, I teach high school English, and so I also ran across a few actual school excuses. One excuse that was sent to the school said, "Please accuse," not excuse, "accuse John for being absent January 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. Another one said, "Chris has an acre in his side." Another one said, "Mary couldn't come to school because she's bothered with very close veins." And then the last one, "Please excuse Ray from school today. He has loose vowels." Dave Hagler, an umpire in an adult baseball league in Colorado. He was pulled over for driving too fast by a policeman. He tried to talk the policeman out of the ticket. The officer said for him to take it up in court. Well, a few weeks later, the first game of the baseball season, Dave Hagler, the umpire, was umpiring behind the plate, and the first person to come up to bat was, guess who? The policeman. And so the policeman turns and looks at the umpire and says, well, how did the ticket turn out? And the umpire says, you better be swinging at everything. I don't know. I don't know if you ever had loose vowels or received unnecessary traffic tickets or a strong rebuke or an extremely difficult tragedy. But today I'm going to address a very familiar story. Most of us have been very hard on the Apostle Peter for denying Christ, and we should, for that matter. But we should also admire his courage for this story. Stepping out of a boat in a raging sea takes something, call it courage, call it faith, call it reckless abandonment, whatever. So let me give you those truths. Number one, here's what I want to give you today. A few of the truths right here from this text. Number one, Jesus put them in the boat. That's what it says in verse 22. It uses the verbs there, made and go. He made them. He said, you're to go. It was urgent. It says immediately, without hesitation. There was no need to discuss it. There was no need to talk about it or even pray about it. When Jesus told them to go, get in the boat, that's where they were to go. That's what they were to do. Jesus' disciples were very tired, more than likely. They were probably tired from all the crowds. They were tired from moving town to town. They may have wanted to rest, but Jesus says, I want you to go get in the boat. When Jesus says go, I want you to know, folks, we go. It was no accident. It was not happenstance. They were in this boat at this time. Jesus put them there. So let me ask you, what kind of boat are you in right now? What kind of boat are you in? Are you tired? Would you prefer to be in another boat? Perhaps you would say, and you should say, I may not like the boat. I may not like the situation. But Jesus put me here. Jesus has me for whatever reason. He's Lord. He's sovereign. He has me right where he wants me. I don't like it, but he has me here. Jesus put him in the boat. The second thing I want you to know, he put them all in the boat, the disciples. Jesus, it says here, the disciples, they ran into a mighty storm. A tremendous storm. It talks about it in verse 24. A raging storm. I don't want you to miss this point if you miss anything today. The storm came not because they were in the middle of the sea. The storm came because, more importantly, they were in the middle of God's will. Your storm is not here because you should have done this. You wish you'd have done that. Ultimately, if we look at the big picture, we see it dimly. God sees it magnificently expansive. He has you in the boat where he wants you, even in the storm. If the disciples would have disobeyed and not gotten in the boat, and they would have stayed on land, perhaps they would have been more, they would have had more fanfare. They would have had more of a crowd to come and tell them how wonderful y'all are because you're with Jesus. Or how magnificent this must be for you to be one of the 12. And they would get all of this incredible fanfare and accolades. they would have received more fame and popularity. But because they obeyed and got into the boat, they're now drifting in a sea in the middle of this furious, raging sea with high waves, incredible wind, in a very scary storm. One Christian who read this passage said, "That doesn't sound like God's will to me." Dear friends, we don't decide God's will, do we? God decides His will. None of us like storms. On a personal note, my brother, who is 10 years older than I am, lost his wife just over a year ago as she jumped from the Mississippi River Bridge to her death in West Helena, Arkansas. Took almost a year to find her body. He knows what storms are like. And you know what storms are like. Some of you have been through some terrible storms. You understand what a storm is like. But God puts you in that boat, and God has you in that boat, and God says He's going to be with you. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to help you get through that storm. In this life, there are at least two kinds of storms you and I are going to face. Two kinds of storms. The first one is a storm of correction. Storm of correction. Do I have that slide, brother? Storm of correction. I don't have it up there. But just so you know, the storm of correction. Jonah needed a storm of correction, didn't he? He couldn't stand the people, the Ninevites. And God says, "You're going to go to Nineveh." So God had to do what He had to do with the great fish, him being swallowed and vomited out on the land after 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. All of that was because Jonah needed correction. Sometimes when you and I meander a little bit off path, off track, God gives us storms of correction that says, "Get back on track. You've been out of God's will too long. You've been out of fellowship with God's people too long. You've been doing your own thing too long." God says, "I'm going to give you some correction." Storms of correction. Because God disciplines those whom He loves. He disciplines His children. Then we see storms of perfection. The disciples needed more pruning. Storms of perfection. God has helped us to grow. God wants you to be who you should be. God wants you to be the servant that you should be. He wants you to be the teenager, the young, the child. He wants you to be the grandparent, the great-grandparent, whatever it may be. The mom or dad. And so God does sometimes bring storms in our life, not just to correct us, but to perfect us as well. Storm of perfection. This is what's going on today, the storm of perfection. Let me give you truth number three. They were in the boat. A storm came. And we see in verse 23 that Jesus Himself said a prayer for them. He prayed for them. It tells us that there. On the mountain, maybe the Lord Jesus was very hungry. He was hungry for time with His Father. He was hungry for devotion, for fellowship, for communion, for intimacy with God, His Father. And so He prays. It's somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And the storm is viciously raging. The terrified disciples in their helpless and insignificant boat were right where they needed to be, in the middle of God's will. And according to the Gospel of Mark, his account, they were exhausted. They were extremely exhausted from heavy rowing. And it was then, at that time, when they were ready to give up, that Jesus came. It was at their last bit of will. We cannot go any longer. Jesus showed up. They were rowing and rowing and rowing to their last ounce of effort. And then Jesus showed up. Isn't that the way life really is for all of us? Sometimes we pray. We pray earnestly, Jesus, help me. And nothing happens. Then we pray more fervently, Jesus, please help me. And nothing happens. Then we beg and we cry and we plead, Lord Jesus, I plead with you, please help me. And still nothing happens. And just when you are about to give up, just when you say, I cannot take it anymore, just when you're about to jump ship, Jesus shows up. And he shows up right on time. Every time. He may not show up when I want him to show up, but he shows up on time. Jesus not only put them in a boat, he not only put them in a storm, and he not only prayed for them, but I want you to know in verse 23 it says, Jesus, point number four, he went to them. He went to them. Have you ever thought about this question? Have you ever asked the question, why did the Lord Jesus walk on water? He could have done a bunch of other things. Why did he walk on water? I love what Warren Wiersbe says about this text. He says that Jesus walked on water to show his disciples that the very thing they feared was nothing more than a staircase to Jesus. Nothing more than a staircase. So let me ask you the question, what if Wiersbe is correct? And when you're afraid, when you're disillusioned, when you are angry, when you're frustrated, when you're beside yourself, when you're depressed, when all of these things come over you, maybe it's only a staircase. And God is saying to you, I'm here. Trust me. I'm here. Let me help you. I'm here. Don't try and handle this alone. When you're barely hanging on, and when you're about to jump ship, hold on tight. Don't fear, because the Lord Jesus is on his way. That's what this passage tells us. Jesus goes to them. Jesus put them in the storm. Jesus put them in this boat. He prayed for them. And so let me give you point number five. It's in verse 28. Notice what it says. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter asked the question in verse 28. And we don't know why the question was asked, but we know he asked the right person. Jesus responds to Peter. He tells him to step out of the boat and come toward him. Nobody in their right mind would step out of a raging sea, jump out of that boat as we saw just a moment ago, unless, obviously, they thought it was going down. Nobody would do that. But Peter did. And Peter began to walk on the water, the Bible says. And then he did something very unusual. Not looking at the water. He began to look at the wind. And the Bible says Peter looked at the wind and he began to be afraid. I love what one commentarian says named Bruce. He says, Peter walked on the water but feared the wind. He says, human nature often achieves great things at a fault of little things. Perhaps you're in that situation. Maybe you are surviving. You're going through cancer or survived cancer or a tragedy or something unimaginable. But what really trips you up are the little tiny things. The small things. Just like Peter. Just like Elijah. Just like Samson and Moses and on and on and on. Let me quickly give you the last two. Point number five I want you to know is, or six, excuse me. Jesus has placed you, and I've already reiterated a little bit, He's placed you in some ships, in a ship. Life is full of storms, and they'll continue because you and I have been placed in a ship by our choose, not by our choosing. Maybe so, but or not necessarily by default or design. Ultimately, Jesus is totally in charge of everything. And He's watching your ship right now, and He's praying for you as you row and as you row and as you row. And just at the right time, when all seems lost, when hope seems to be never in sight, when you're ready to give up completely, Jesus will come to you in your hour of need. He'll be there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Thousands of people are jumping ship from one religion to another, from one marriage to another, from one church to another, looking for a sea that has no storms, but nothing like that exists. They erroneously think that they, if they move or go or leave, the storms will cease, but they never do. Jesus admonishes us to stop running from our storms because God has put them there in our life to correct us or perfect us. God wants me to tell every one of you that when the storm comes, get out the paddle, get out the oars, and keep your ship pointed in the right direction. Don't jump. Because if Jesus calls you in this boat, don't give up. The winds may be violent. The waves may be fierce. But the right person is always in control. Amen? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we've all been in this situation of ready to give up, maybe as a child, maybe as a teenager, maybe even as an adult, maybe as a senior adult. It's just so many things, loneliness, depression, finances, relationships. Lord, you know it all because you know everything. You know how fickle we really are. Lord, I pray that if there's some out here today that have never truly surrendered their life to you, Lord, that they'd do that today. They would cry out to you to save them. And they would trust you as Lord and Savior. Lord, if there are others that are just, they know that they've trusted you. They know they're one of yours. And their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they have just gotten off track. Their mind has gotten off track. Their heart's gotten off track. Whatever it was that's caused this, or a compilation of things, they've just kind of deviated the wrong direction. Father, may they repent of that right now and ask your forgiveness and come back home, Lord. Father, I pray that people will come to Jesus, whether it's first time or whether it's again, Lord. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. What number, brother?